This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
My man, Timmy McKeever. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, how are you?
Happy good. Release week, bud. How's it going?
You. Dude, it's good. It's been a whirlwind the past few weeks.
But, I bet.
Yeah, it's exciting. A little nerve-wracking, but yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah, how excited are you to have this project out? Devils and Angels,
yeah.
Seven-song album, your debut record, man. Like, big step for the kid, man.
Yeah, it's honestly crazy. I had a little bit of like a freak out yesterday. I was like, holy shit. Like, can I cuss?
Oh, you say whatever you want, okay, bud. You got the folks that are going to give you a look if you say something wrong over there. So just look over there. You're good. I'm good. You saying whatever,
yeah.
Dog.
All right. Yeah. So, it's been crazy. Cause I mean, I've been working on this music. Like the oldest, I wrote the first song off this record like 2 years ago. So it's been a long time coming with this project. So I'm excited that it's finally going to be out, but I'm also nervous. Cause I'm like, I've only put out singles up until now. So putting out all this music at the same time, it's definitely a little nerve-wracking, but I mean, I can't wait.
Yeah, and it's the process. A lot of people, like music fans, don't realize all the work that goes into just recording and putting out one song, let alone a collection of seven that kind of fit in with each other.
Yeah, people don't understand, like, if, like, all my friends were outside the music industry, they're like, oh, you just put out a song and that's it, right? And I'm like, no, well, I mean, you write the song, you record the song, then you have to fine tune it. You go through like five revisions of that.
At least.
One track at least. And then you put it out and you have to film content. You have to pose for it. Like all this, it's all this stuff. And it's this big production that people don't really understand unless you're actually involved in the industry.
Yeah, dude. So. There's so much like behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And that you're out here full time now?
I am, yeah. I made it permanent in June.
So it's been about 6 months.
About 6 months.
How you liking it, dog? Because you're from Cali, man. So it's a little bit of a different world. It's like I'm from New York. So again, different type of thing coming to the South.
Yeah, it's definitely a big change. It's a lot colder here, I would say.
Dude, snow yesterday.
Yeah, so it was nuts.
That must have blown your mind, being a Cali boy.
It was sick for my dogs, especially, because they've never been to the snow. So it started coming down, and they were like freaking out. I got some photos of them all like covered in white. It's hilarious.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, dude, the weather down here is about as bipolar as it gets.
Yeah.
Like one day it'll be 80, you're throwing around the football in Centennial Park and hitting the bars. And then the next day you're like, I don't want to go outside.
Yeah.
It's windy, it's tornadoes, all kinds of shit, bro.
Yeah, it's nuts. I think the biggest change is I grew up pretty close to the beach. So, I mean, I didn't really go that much because I always had my hands tied with everything I was doing, but it's definitely it's definitely a change of pace.
So you talk about having your hands tied with everything that you were doing. How long have you been doing this music thing?
So it's coming up on 10 years. I started when I was 9 years old.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And so by age 11, I was playing dive bars and just cutting my teeth out there. And, you know, I kind of just have been grinding it and writing as much music as I can. And I started putting out music at like age 14.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a long time coming, and then I was also in sports full time on top of it.
What were you balling at? What were you playing?
So I used to play ice hockey when I
ice hockey in
up.
California. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah, and so I was playing ice hockey for a few years, I think like 5 or 6.
Nice.
Maybe less, I don't know. But but then I got 3 concussions. Oh. So yeah, so basically I got a concussion, then I got 2 more concussions like a few months apart.
Ugh.
So it was not good. It was time for me to tap out. So,
yeah, that'll put an end. That's what got me. I was playing football in high school.
Oh, really?
I had 2 my senior year. My mom was like, yeah, you're not even going to try to play D3 in college, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So you get it.
Yeah,
but,
dude.
Yeah, so basically that's what was the catalyst for my music career, though, because I couldn't play sports for like a year and a half. So basically after I couldn't play sports, I just started picking up music because it was either that or waste my time away playing video games, right?
Yeah.
So I figured music was a little more productive, so just fell in love with it. And I mean, yeah, that's kind of, as much as it hurt and sucked, got me here.
Everything happens for a reason, man.
Exactly.
Everything happens for a reason. Like,
yes, sir.
You playing those dive bars at 11 gets you ready for where you're at right now, because that's where you go, and that's the best place to take in and perform country music.
Yes, sir.
Is a dive bar with a bunch of blue collar folks. And you got what was it like being so young? I mean, even now you're young doing what you're doing, but to get a start at that age? What was that all like?
It was funny because, I mean, most of the places I would play, they would, like, hide me back in the kitchen. And then when it was my time to hop up on stage, they would just, like, just escort me out. And I'd get up on stage, do my thing, and then just, like, leave right after. So now that I'm older, I can, like, hang around a little bit after. Yeah. And they just X my hands, and it's fine. But, yeah it was growing up, it was hilarious. Cause
that's awesome.
They're like, what the hell is this little kid doing up here?
Yeah.
Guitar was bigger than I was, and I was just up there doing my thing, so.
That's awesome. Yeah, what kind of songs were you playing back then?
Honestly, I was just kind of playing, like, I played a lot of the stuff I grew up on, like a lot of Eric Church, Toby Keith, and then I also tried to mix in some of, like, the, I don't know, like the Broadway songs you hear all the time, and just like the fan favorites. So I definitely learned how to entertain a crowd at a young age and keep them excited and on their toes. So that's one thing that, I value is I learned how to manage a crowd at a very young age. So I'm grateful that I
yeah, dude, it's important, man. There's so many people that have, like, cause you've had some good, like, social pop, and you know how to utilize all the different tools that are out there in 2024, which is great. You know, it's exhausting because it's like, you just want to write songs and sing. And that's, mm-hmm. that used to be what you would do. And you do interviews like this and do fan club stuff, mm-hmm. and radio things and all that. But now it's like, you have to be like a full-time creator.
Yeah.
So to have that, but there's so many people that have that pop but have never been on a stage.
Yeah, exactly.
So for you to kind of do it where you start out on the stage.
Yeah, I did it in reverse.
Bro, but that to me is the best way to do it, because you get your reps at such a young age, dog.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's, if I had to give a piece of advice to any young musicians that are, like, trying to start out and, like, do this path, I would say, like, cut your teeth at an early age. Do all the work behind the scenes first off. And then once you're like, all right, I'm a very seasoned musician, I can do this, then you start posting it on social media, pushing yourself out. So then when people see you, they're like, all right, this guy's actually talented, he knows what he's doing. Because otherwise, like, all right, you can start posting on social media, then you go viral, and you're like, wait, but I've never played on a stage before. I don't know how to do this, right? Yeah. So yeah, that's if I had to give a piece of advice to a musician, that would be it.
Yeah. What was it like doing the House of Blues back in Anaheim?
Oh, it was fun. Yeah. I'm actually going back. I'm playing there in like 2 weeks. So that'll be a fun time. But it's crazy because I've seen a bunch of my favorite artists.
Yeah.
There.
Who were some of your, so if you're playing shows at 11, mm-hmm. how old were you when you went to your first concert?
Oh, shoot. Let's see. I think I was about the same age.
Okay. So about that, like third, fourth grade, fifth grade.
Yeah. I think so. I think I was like 12 or 13 when I went to see my first concert.
Who was it?
Zach Brown Band.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. It was a fun time. I love them. I've seen them probably like 4 times, and they just crush every single
time. I think that's what draws people into country music, is going to a country concert.
Yes.
That's what drew me in. My first show, I was 8 years old. I saw mm-hmm. Tim McGraw in 2003.
Yeah.
And it was like pre-sobriety Hoss Cat Tim. It was when McGraw was like walling, party-wise. And it was fucking awesome, dude. But then, like, the camaraderie of just people at country shows, uh-huh. it's just, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, it's nuts. And, like, even just the acts, I feel like it's very special because it's all live performances. Like, even some of the other genres, they'll be lip syncing or just playing full tracks and then just, like, singing over that. But, like, I mean, country is still just true and it's raw, and I just love it so much.
Yeah, and you've gotten to go out with guys like Kojo and mm-hmm. Chris Jansen, and like those, again, just guys that do it a special way on stage. Yeah. They've been doing it for a long time. What was that like?
I mean, it was definitely great being exposed to acts like that at a young age, because I got to see them and kind of model my stage presence after theirs. And I was like, I mean, I've been watching Kojo for the longest time and just seeing him up there, just how he commands the crowd. It's nuts. Like he's probably one of my favorite performers. And that's really how I've gotten to be so comfortable up on stage, is just watching other performers and being like, oh, so that's how you do that, right?
Yeah,
so,
dude. I mean, whether it's a small stage or now it's big stages for him, he is everywhere, man.
Yeah.
He is everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
It's crazy.
That dude's nuts. And his story is awesome.
Yeah, dude. That's what's so cool about, like, the guys and girls that have spent so much time grinding. Mm-hmm. Like, again, just years. He could have just stayed in Texas, but he got, like, the best deal possible mm-hmm. when he came out here. You know, like, people. I remember when that happened, and it was like, that's like one of the like standards now, is if you can get like the Kojo deal or do it the Kojo way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly. Where was that? Where you played with him?
That was at this festival called Subaru Freedom Fest.
Subaru. That sounds like a West Coast.
Yeah. It is. It's it was literally right on the water. I think it was like, yeah, it was like a couple hundred feet away from the water. And it was just like this big music festival that they put on. And it was a fun time. Yeah. It was like, I think Kojo was there. Adam Doliak was there. I'm blanking on who else, but there was a bunch of big artists there. So it was a fun time. They put me on the main stage and I was like,
oh wow.
I was like 13 or something.
You're like, what am I doing on this?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but so I mean, I got up there, I played for like 6 songs and just did my thing. I ended up getting on TV, which is pretty cool. All my friends are calling me up.
Wow.
They're like, dude, you're on TV.
There's some street cred. Yeah. There's some local boy street cred.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, so.
How is it now being out here and your boys being back in Cali? Like, is it tough to stay in touch with everybody or
yeah,
what's that been like?
You definitely got to put in extra work to stay in touch with people. I mean, like I'd like to think I'm still close with all my boys. I mean, I go back every now and again and see them and we hang out and it's just like old times, but yeah, it's definitely a little bit harder to keep that connection. But I mean, like I've managed to stay in touch for the most part, and yeah. I've made friends out here too. So
yeah.
it's cool to have both groups. I mean, I got my friends from back home, and then I got my buddies out here, and then I got my music friends out here. So it's fun.
It's important to have friends outside of music.
Yeah,
you know, it's great 100%. To have buddies that you write with, especially at your age, having guys that mentor you, which we'll get to in a sec, because there's a long list of guys that I'm sure you've met out here, but like. Keeping the group chat going or hopping on Fortnite or Call of Duty or something with your buddies. Like, it's so important to have that because you get caught up in like this Nashville bubble, you know? And it took me a while to understand that. You just hit 6 months. I just hit 6 years, you know? And it's like, yeah, you have to keep in touch with the people back home. And it seems like you got a very supportive family too.
Shout out to Pops over there. Yeah. Shout out Pops. Yeah. He's been great with this whole process. Just helped me through it. I mean, he's like, when I got into it, he started learning about the industry.
Yeah.
And he's been a great help. So
yeah, dude. I mean, if you were going and doing shows at 11, like they've been supportive of that, man. It's not much different than being like a dad or a mom in of an athlete, you know, where it's like you're on travel team and you're going. It's just instead of your games, you're playing shows.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of being in a rink or on a field, they're in a dive bar.
Yeah, they're in a dive bar. Yeah. What a concept, man. That's sick, man. Tell me, talk a little bit more about your family, man. What was it like growing up in Cali with the family?
So I have two older sisters. One is 10 years older than me, and then one is 2 years older than me. So it was fun. I mean, I was always the baby, so I kind of got bullied a little bit. But
baby boy.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good time, yeah. And I mean... Yeah, it was awesome. I'm really tight with my sister still. Actually, my oldest one just had a baby.
Oh, so now your uncle.
Yeah, I'm an uncle. It's weird.
Tim.
It's such a weird thing because I mean I've never like held that like small of a human before.
Yeah,
like I held her the first day she was born.
Wow.
So I mean like it was nuts. I was so scared. I was freaking out. I was like,
don't drop her.
Her whole life is in my hands. Like
yeah, literally.
I was freaking out. But I mean we got through it. Now I'm more comfortable. But yeah, I've been posting her on social media a little bit, and yeah, she's a sweetheart. Her nickname's Peanuts. She's just a little tiny.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's so cool, dude.
Yes, sir.
It's crazy just watching life kind of evolve around you because it's like you're dialed in with what you've got going on with this record and just your career, but then just watching like your family grow too, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, I have a pretty big family, I would say. So my it's my family, and then I guess I have my dad, and then my aunt, and I have two other aunts that are in like our kind of
in the core.
Yeah, in the core. So it's fun to have a big family.
And then cousins too.
Yeah,
lots of cousins.
I have a bunch of cousins. Yeah, so that was definitely fun. I have. Yeah, it was nuts, and they grew up living like 2 hours away from me. So I didn't get to see them that much, but I mean, it was fun. Like I would drive down and go see him every now and again. And I mean, we would go out and go surfing and stuff.
Yeah, the Cali shit.
Yeah, the Cali shit. Yeah, my uncle's a big surfer and skater. So nice. Growing up, he would always take us out. I was never good, but I mean,
but you just do it.
Yeah, I had fun like going out there and trying my best.
You're like, so. I'm gonna skate on the ice. Yeah, not on the board. Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna be longboard. Let's go to the rink. I'll show you a real skate.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Have you been to a Predators game since you've been out here?
I haven't. No, I'm a Preds fan. Like I watch the games and stuff, but I mean, I haven't gotten the chance to.
Dude, they're fucking electric.
I've heard that.
They are electric.
I want to go so bad. That's like on my bucket list. Like since I've moved here, but I just haven't.
Gotten yeah, dude, the chance. It's fun too because like the fans aren't like jerk-offs, you know, like, because it's like, I'm from New York, so like, us, New York, Philly, Boston, we all kind of like butt heads a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
The Nashville fans are just passionate, and when there's like the chants, since a lot of people are in music, it might be because everybody's in music, but it's like all the chants are in unison, where it's almost like a soccer game.
Yeah.
So it's just fucking loud and electric. And the team's physical, which just makes it more fun, man.
Hell yeah. That's my favorite part about watching hockey growing up, was watching them beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah. What kind of hockey player where were you on the ice and stuff?
So I played a few different positions. I played defense for a while, like for the first probably 4 years of my career. And then I switched to right wing. I was pretty good, but I was always undersized, so I kinda got like.
Yeah, but that means you can usually go a little bit faster.
Yeah.
You can
sneak by those big guys. I was pretty fast. I just like there was definitely some bigger dudes who would knock me around a little bit. And I was always, I mean, I was playing up. So I was like I would go to these clinics with these guys that were in high school when I was like in middle school. Right. And I was I would just get the shit rocked.
Do you have any good chirps?
Not really. I never.
Cause I know that's like part of like the hockey bro culture.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. I kind of never really was into that. I kind of like to let my game speak for me.
There you go. That's a pro move right there.
I don't like the guys who talk loud and swing a small stick.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'd rather just keep my mouth shut and let my game talk for me. And that's how I treat pretty much all aspects of life. So.
Yeah, dude. That seems like that's how you've treated music, man.
Yes, sir.
And it's working out well for you, man. Yeah. You do your talking in the writing room.
Yes,
and
sir.
Through the songs and. So going back to this project, what was it like? Obviously, you've done a lot of singles, and you've been pushing for quite a while now. But yes, now sir. To have this like full project, was it different recording like a body of work, or did you not know if you'd package all these together? Or
yeah, so we when we recorded the first two tracks, we weren't sure if we were gonna do a full project or not. And then once I'd been writing like 4 times a week. So we were just getting a bunch of songs come in. And we're like, damn, well, we got a ton of good music. So we kind of were just like, all right, well, we're going to do an album. I mean, I'm picking up steam on social, so might as well, right? So we kind of just started writing for that and ended up capping it off. And, you know, I kind of lost my train of thought there, but I don't know.
like being in the studio, was it all with the same producer?
It was. Yes, it was all with the same producer. His name's Matt McVaney.
Oh, dude, I love McVee, bro.
Yeah, McVee.
I love McVee. I had fun with him. I used to be on the road with Trey Lewis back in the day, and we did a summer with Kid Rock, and we brought some writers out on the bus for the Kid Rock tour, and McVee was one of those guys.
Yeah.
We had a ball with him. We took him up to the Northeast, and it was Matt McVaney, John Pierce, and Adam Craig, and then me, Trey, and our bus driver, Bobby Lee, which you'll learn as you grow. Bus drivers are some of the craziest, most interesting individuals. Bobby Lee was quite the character, but McVee's the man, dude.
Yeah, he is.
And he's so good at finding an artist's sound and that attention to detail and just growing with you, man.
Yeah, he's been such a good help. Like he completely brought these tracks to life, and just some of the input he had, like some of the tracks, like if you were to hear the work tape versus the final track, you'd be like, well, how the hell did that happen? Right. And he was a big part of that, so shout out McVee. He doesn't have social media, so
He's like some of these producers, man, they just live in the studio.
He's kind of he got off social media a while back, and he's I mean, he's like, I'm happier off it. I
yeah
don't really like it, so I mean, props to him for being able to get out of that, right?
Yeah. So. What's it like being the young kid in the room, like writing with some of the guys and girls that you've gotten to write with and create with and that have kind of helped you get your reps, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely, you kind of got to prove yourself. Because, yeah. I mean, most of the time you walk in there and people are like, all right, who the hell is this 18-year-old kid in the room with me, right?
Yeah.
But so you kind of, once we start going and I show them that I'm not just like some random kid who doesn't know what the hell they're doing, then they're kind of like, you basically have to earn their respect before you can, I don't know. Yeah, so that's definitely been one of my biggest things, is just always coming into writer rooms full of ideas and just being ready to prove myself, you know?
Yeah, it's again, goes back to the athlete mentality.
Yes, sir.
Where it's you go and you prove yourself, man. Like, you're exactly. trying out for that travel team. You're
yeah.
getting ready for this player showcase, and now you're getting to do it through music, man.
Yes, sir.
Which is what, again, like, you look at so many guys that came up that were athletes.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah, there's a ton of guys, especially, like, guys who were playing sports and then they got injured.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories was, and I got to do an interview with him when I was in college, and he came to my college, but he did, was Brett Young. And
oh,
it was,
yeah.
Again, another California guy,
uh-huh.
and he was playing at Fresno State, and he got hurt. He got drafted by, at the time, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and then
okay.
he had arm surgery, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he picked up a guitar and started doing music. And at that yeah. point, he was doing a lot of Gavin DeGraw covers, hadn't mm-hmm. really had many originals, and then he signed with Big Machine not too long after that,
yes,
you know?
Sir.
So it's like, it's, again, this, that, but that mentality of, like, working hard at something and dedicating and putting the effort in,
yes,
like,
sir.
Like you do on the field or on the ice, mm-hmm. like, it translates over to music pretty nicely.
Yeah, he's a... Yeah, Brett is actually a big reason of why I started coming out here.
Really?
Yeah, so my guitar teacher back in California, who's actually my guitarist out here now, he's going to be playing at my tomorrow night.
Hell yeah, dude, which we're very excited
yeah,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He shreds, but so he was teaching me guitar back in California, and basically I was covering a Brett Young song, and so...
Which one?
I want to say it was In Case You Didn't Know.
Okay, yeah.
I think...
One of the big ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was one of the big ones, and... It was right like after he had like 5 go number one, right?
Yeah.
In that short amount of time. So he was popping off, and basically my guitar teacher sent a video of me playing that song to Brett Young's guitarist, who he was buddies with. His guitarist showed it to Brett. Brett's like, all right, this kid's cool. Turned around, showed it to Jimmy Harnan over at Big Machine.
Yeah.
And then basically, I mean, we started meeting with them and coming out here. And I mean, I was like 12 or something at the time, so we didn't end up going that route.
Yeah.
It was too early for all that, but I mean, up until that point, I kind of didn't really think I could make a career out of this whole thing. I was kind of just doing it for fun. I was like, well, this, I mean, it's a good time. The girls like it. Might as well,
right?
Might as well do it, right? So
that's a big part of it.
Yeah, but then once that happened, I mean, I was like, dang, I can really do this with my life. So I kind of started going full throttle from that point, and I mean, it led me here. So
that's awesome, man. Yeah. That's sick.
And shout out Brett Young.
Yeah, shout out Brett. Been a long time. I think last time I saw him was back in New Jersey, and
oh,
it was
really?
Years ago. I mean, you talk about now having a team around you, having management, having mm-hmm. having a label behind you. With you were talking about Jimmy Harnan. Now you've got another Jim. In
yeah,
your
I
life,
do.
Right?
Yes, sir. Jim Catino.
Oh, Catino, man. You talk about just a legend.
Hell yeah,
Catino.
Him and his dad, like,
yeah.
That family has got a lot of history in this town. Very
yeah.
respected.
Yeah. They do. And you're working with our buddy Joe, too.
I
right?
am. Yep. Joe Barrick.
Dude, Joey. Joe is the man. Love Joe. We've known him through Ray's Rowdy for years, man.
Yeah.
He's like OG family.
Yes, sir.
Which is really cool. So what's it like now? And you have booking over with our friends at WME, which is sick, too. So what's it like from years of, like, your parents driving you to gigs and all of that to now having a team around you?
Yeah, it's honestly been crazy just because it happened so fast. Like, I mean, when I moved out here, I was signed with Jim Catino over at Drop Time. So I'd signed with them back in January, but then I kind of hadn't had anything else happen. And then so I moved out here, and like meetings just started popping up, and I ended up signing with Joe like probably a few weeks after I moved out here. And then WME came, I think, like a month ago. So it's all moved really fast, and I'm really grateful for it. But yeah, it's been crazy. Like, I don't even know. It's a lot to wrap your head around that you just like.
And it's tough to think about it when as it's happening. You know, like you're in the moment of it still happening right now. Yeah. Like all of that stuff within the last within this year to dropping your first full length record to all these opportunities, and it's like if that was this year, what the hell's next year going to be like?
Yeah, exactly. That's the big thing is like it's hard to imagine the future when it's so unpredictable. Like if you're in an industry like the music industry and you're just like, all right, well things could change overnight and I could be like you could be the next biggest artist in the world, which is the awesome thing about social media because like, I mean, as much of a pain in the ass it is, it's also like it can change your life like that. So
yeah, when did you really start seeing that stuff pop on Instagram and TikTok and everything?
I would say in springtime of this year. So I'd been posting on social media, but it wasn't really like taken off or doing anything crazy. And then I had my first, I guess, like viral post. I think, it was like late spring.
Yeah.
And it was my first post that I'd had hit a million views. And then
it's a cool feeling. It
is a cool feeling. I was like, damn, this is nuts. Like
a million people? That's a lot of freaking people.
Exactly. And then so, like, I mean, after that, my followers just started growing pretty fast. And I hit 10K, I think, like right before I moved out here. And then
now you're almost at like 60.
Yeah. So it's crazy how fast things have changed. And it's definitely weird trying to wrap my head around it all, but I mean, yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, what are the comments like? Do you take the time to? And then there's a lot of them on certain posts where it just, and it's crazy to wrap your head around that. It's like it's people from all over the world.
Exactly. Yeah, I try to respond to as much as I can. It's definitely gotten to be a lot, but I mean, I still try to stay connected with my fans whenever I can. So I mean, responding to comments and DMs and kind of just wherever I can talk to them and show them appreciation, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's definitely gotten to be a lot, especially like I did this one post a while back and it was basically, I was saying like, congrats, you just found in like a country artist who's still small enough to respond to every comment. And then basically I ended up getting like, it's up to like 5,000 comments now.
Oh shit.
And so I'm like still having to respond to all these comments. And I'm like, shit, why did I do that? But I mean, it's definitely, my view on it is if people are taking the time out of their day to like give words of encouragement on your posts, like the least you could do is respond to them and show that appreciation back. So
yeah, dude, absolutely. And that's something that country music and country artists and folks in this industry do so well.
Yeah.
The fans feel so connected, man. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of it has to do with the relatability, you know, like
100%.
People are seeing this young kid that they relate to and your songs speak to them, dude. Is there one song in particular that's gotten the most traction for you where it's like lead you to where you're at?
Yeah. So, Bulletproof is my biggest song to date. And that one is kind of the reason I was able to like move out here and start doing this thing is because that song started picking up pretty well and doing well on social media and all that stuff. And actually recently I've had one of the songs that's on the upcoming album, it's called I've Known Better. And like, I think, so the most videos I've had made with one of my sounds is like 1,300 or something. And this song I've Known Better isn't even out yet. And it's about to pass that. So it's crazy. This song, like it's, shout out to all my fans out there who are making videos with the song.
Yeah.
Because it's like nuts. Like it's the sound has only been up for like a week and a half and it's already up to like 13K videos, which is blows my mind. So
that's nuts.
It is nuts. Like I woke up one morning and I was like, damn, that's moving pretty fast. And then like, yeah, it's just exploded. So yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy. What do the videos like look like? Is it just people doing stuff to the sound? Or?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because talk about the song a little bit.
Yeah, so the song, the opening line of the song is, she's got a cross around her neck, got a $1 million smile, got that Barbie silhouette, got them legs that go for miles.
Oh, yeah, the TikTok girls are eating that up, boy.
They eat it up. Yeah. So it's a lot of girls with just, I mean, cross necklace, and they're just lip singing to the song. So, I mean, it's cool. It's really cool. I've never had something like that where the fans are really connected to a song like that. So,
yeah. And that's the first of many, bro.
Yeah.
That's the sign, man. No, dude, honestly, it's usually if you're getting that and the song's not even out yet, dog.
Yeah.
And then you got six other songs to go with it.
Yeah.
For them to jump on.
Yes, sir.
Everything happens for a reason, man. Like we were talking about earlier, and it's like, it's all the stars are aligning, man. Mm-hmm. So what have you got planned for next year? Like, what can you talk about of what you got? Now you got booking, you got records, you got management.
Yeah, so we're kind of, I don't know what I, can I talk about like whatever? Sure. All right, I guess it's fine. So, I mean, so we have some big plans for music dropping. Some collabs are in the future.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, some more another project I'm planning on putting out in 2025. So, yeah, there's a lot to look forward to. And then I'm going to be having a lot more show dates. I know some people were kind of sad that I wasn't able to make it out to their city or something like that. So, yeah. I'm excited.
Have you been out a lot this year?
I've been out a decent amount. I mean, I signed with WME pretty late in the season, so it was kind of just like shotgun dates where they would just be like, "Oh, so and so needs a opener for this weekend."
Who were some of those folks?
So, like, I opened for Dylan Scott. Let's see, Ashley Cook.
Oh, nice.
Creed Fisher. Who else? I opened for Lee Greenwood.
Nice. So a spectrum of all different, all different kinds of crowds, because the Lee Greenwood crowd and the Ashley Cook crowd look very different.
Yeah, very different. So I mean, it was fun to test out and see who I like connected well, like demographically speaking, and you know, it was fun. And
Do you think you connected the best?
I would say Dylan Scott show. That was out in Ohio.
Ohio. Blast. Ohio goes fucking hard, dude.
Blast.
Ohio folks love their country.
Yes,
music.
They do. It was so much fun. And I mean, like, it was the crowd reaction was just like the biggest I'd ever.
Where was the show?
It was at Athens, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was like a couple thousand seat venue. And it was like the first time I had played like a theater like that, right?
Yeah. Theaters are different vibes. You never know what you're going to get. If the crowd's going to be standing, if they're going to be sitting, if it's more laid back or it's a little rowdy. Like, you never know what you're going to get in a theater.
Yeah, and it was nuts because, like, I had people, like, in the audience with, like, pictures of my face on, like...
Wow.
Like a sheet of paper and stuff. And, like, it was crazy. Like, I ended up giving a girl, like, a tattoo of my signature, like, after the show.
Dude, you're already signing your first tattoos.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was nuts. So it was definitely a fun time. Yeah, that was probably the highlight of my fall touring schedule. So, yeah.
That's fucking awesome, man. Yes, sir. That's awesome, dude. Yeah, where do you think you kind of fit in within country music? Because it's like your sound, you're blending, you're bringing like that Cali kind of vibe, man, where it's like easy listening, similar to what Brett does, you know, sir. where it fits in that. But then your songwriting, you're talking about like these deeper topics at a young age. Like, where do you think you kind of fit in?
Yeah, so I like to say that my music is just a blend of what I grew up listening to, you know, like my music taste is so across the board. Like, so, I mean, like it, I kind of just write the music that feels true to my heart. And I mean, if the people like it, they like it. And if they don't, then oh well. But, so I tend to lean towards a more edgier kind of rocky sound. So I like to say I have two facets. I have like more of a rock sound, and then I also have more of like kind of a pop leaning country sound. So yeah, that's kind of the two sides of it. And I think in the album, it's split down the middle. So I have four of each, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yeah. So what, as far as rock stuff, what kind of rock songs were you growing up on, or what rock?
Yeah. So I love AC/DC.
Hell yeah.
Green Day. Those are probably my top two. I love Led Zeppelin as well.
So like the classic rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Shout out to that's got to be a dad influence.
Oh,
so
it is.
Shout out.
Pops grew up on all
that
stuff.
Shout out to Pops getting Timmy growing up on the Led Zeppelin and the AC/DC.
Yes, sir.
Did you see AC/DC just announced a tour for next year?
Yeah, I did.
And they're coming to Nissan, which is sick. Like, those guys, they're like, what, like 70, 80 years
something
old?
Something like that.
And they're still fucking going.
Still going.
Isn't it crazy?
That's how I'm trying to be.
That's how you're trying to be? Hey, you got a long way to go, man.
Yeah.
If you can span, long ride. You can span 6-7 decades, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
It's absolutely nuts. Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah, and it's like the rock side of things is coming back, which is really cool, too.
I love it. Like, I love it when... Yeah, I mean, I just think it's great. Like, all they got, like, I mean, you see guys like Bailey Zimmerman who are kind of doing it. Hardy's doing it awesome with, like, some of the metal stuff he's putting out. And,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's I think it's awesome.
It's fun. Yeah, you like, you kind of have like the, and I'm not just saying it because of like the hair, but like you have like, because I remember meeting Bailey when he first got to town. And again, he was, like we were talking about earlier, how the, how like kids don't know how to be on a stage right away, but like they're, then they get thrown into these tours and they have to kind of learn as they go, but you've already gotten those reps. That was like the situation that he was in, you know, like his first time performing in front of anybody was at Live Oak.
Yeah.
At one of our events, which is crazy. Like his first time performing was a writer's round, you know? So it's like, it's crazy. Like the class that you're kind of coming up with of kids that have moved here and all of that. Have you gotten to meet like other folks that other kids that have just kind of gotten to town and stuff?
Yeah, I've gotten to meet a couple. I hadn't before I moved out here. So like, it was tough.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. You're meeting people that your team is kind of introducing you to, but then when you're out here, you're getting to see other kids at rounds and folks like that.
Yeah. So it's one of my, he's gotten to be one of my best buddies is Caden Wallace.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. He's, I mean, like we literally just met like a few weeks ago. We just like got a write set up and we're just like, hey, let's just kick it and write a song and see what happens. And I mean, we just hit it off. So now we've been hanging out a bunch and he's got to be one of my best buds. You know, like my one of my other good friends, Clayton Mullen.
Have you heard of him? From Texas. Yeah.
Yes, sir. He's one of my best buds. Actually, he's dating my babysitter growing up.
Oh no shit.
Yes. So
how the hell does that happen?
Basically, they both went to TCU and met there, and then he moved out here, started doing music. She's like, "Hey, you got to meet my boyfriend." I was like, "All right, cool." So I mean, I met him, and we just like started hanging out, started writing. And now we're best buds. And I mean, yeah, it's fun. We just had like a Friendsgiving dinner with them the other day.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. So it's crazy how small the world is.
It's nuts. Like, yeah, it's definitely been great to have them out here. Like it's like a little piece of home, just like moved out here with me. So
that's awesome, man. That's so cool. Yeah. And you're going to meet more folks like as within like 6 months, and you kind of go through chapters and evolve as you're out here.
Yes,
and it's like, you're in chapter one right now of what's going to be a long freaking book.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. But what are some goals that you kind of set for yourself this year? Like, I feel like you had to have hit quite a few of them.
Yeah. So I actually had a goal that I made last December to hit 10K by this December on Instagram.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you passed that pretty good.
So that was one of my biggest ones that I was like blown away by. And then I also had a goal to get on the Stagecoach roster for this coming year. Didn't work out, but it's okay. We'll shoot for the next one after that. Yeah. But and I don't know. I had a goal to just what was my other goal? I forget. I'm blanking, but I mean, the biggest like goal that I had for this year was just to grow as much as possible. And I think I've surpassed my expectations of what I thought that was going to look like. So I'd say I'm pretty content going into 2025 with where I'm at. So
yeah, that's awesome, man. And now it's crazy that this year's already come and gone.
Yeah. It's nuts. It feels like it just,
and as you get older, it's going to go faster. As your dad, I'm sure. I'm starting to feel. I'll be 30. I'll be 30 next month, and I'm like,
"Happy birthday!"
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. I feel old. It's like you listen to the Tim McGraw song, like my next 30 years.
Yeah.
It's like, oh fuck, I'm there. You know, I'm there. But it's crazy, like how just fast it all goes. But it seems like you have taken the time to like absorb and appreciate and feel that gratitude for where you're at, man.
I'm trying to. Yes, sir. I'm trying to. Just take a second every now and again and just look around and be like, as much as it's so easy to just like be unhappy with where you are in life.
Yeah, it's so easy to complain about shit, dude.
It's so easy to complain. You're like, why is this person having more traction than me right now? Like, why is this post flopping or something? But then you got to just look around and be like, all right, compared to where I was last year, I'm doing pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be grateful for where you're at. So.
You got to have like your blinders on. It's like I like to equate it to like a horse running a race, you know, like you got to have your team that helps you kind of dial in and block out that other stuff. Sure. Like, and then when you're focused on just running that race, man, you're just all balls to the wall and going.
Hell yeah.
And you're just going. So 2025, we're looking at more stuff coming out.
Yes, sir.
And more shows.
Yes, sir.
And just growing on what has been the biggest year of your career.
Yes, sir. That's pretty much.
It's fucking awesome. How often do you get back to California? Have you gone back at all?
I went back. I've been back twice since I moved. I went for 4th of July.
Okay.
It's always 4th of July back in my hometown is awesome. I mean, we have like this parade that happens, and it was fun to see all my friends and stuff.
You're smart for getting out of here 4th of July. 4th of July here's fucking nuts. Really? Oh yeah, dude. 4th of July, New Year's Eve, and CMA Fest. Uh-huh. I guess you could throw St. Paddy's Day on there too, because that's around like mid, like Big Ten spring break. Yeah, so all the Midwestern schools come here for spring break instead of going to Florida or wherever. So it's like 4th of July here, there's like millions of people.
Oh,
and it's
bet.
Just chaos. So you having a spot, that's a good time to like kind of sneak away out of town. Sir. That's awesome. What was the other time?
So I went back. It was just to check in. I'm still in school, so I kind of just went back to see some.
You're still teachers. In school.
I'm like, still in school.
Which what level?
I'm a senior in high school.
No shit.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not.
I don't talk about it too much.
No, because like, that's like personal life and music life are different.
Yeah, but I'm still taking online school. So I mean, it's
the power of COVID, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
you could do it virtually.
Open the doors for a lot of things. So but I have a closing out the semester right now, and then I go back every now and again just to check in and say what's up. But for the most part, I just do my work and that's
it. That's wild,
sir.
That's wild. And it's like, instead of like going off to college, you're getting an education of music by literally doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I mean, I think the best way to learn about stuff is just to be in it. Right. But, I think I want to go and take some music business classes and just kind of grow my knowledge next year. Like it'll probably be online, but just so I'm educated and know how to carry myself in this industry, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, to go to be doing that in high school, it's like in a way you've graduated, like it's like you're doing like a college semester of music. You've been here about 6 months. That's like a semester of college where you move away. It's like it's literally like moving to Nashville is like college, man.
Yeah,
it is. You meet all these new friends. Mm-hmm. Your classes are being in the writing room and being in the studio and taking these meetings.
Yes, sir.
And then the next step will be like your sophomore year.
Yeah, I've definitely learned a lot. That's a good way of putting it. It's been a lot of trial and errors. I mean, on all fronts. In the songwriting, I'm learning so much from the guys I'm in these rooms with. I've been really fortunate to get in rooms with like some really awesome writers. So.
Who have been some of your favorites?
Some of my favorite writers. Let's see, Russell Sutton.
Oh, dude, Russell's he's man.
He's awesome.
My boy is a song that just like blows my mind.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
love Russell.
I love Dave Fenley.
Dave Fenley. I actually, it's funny Dave Fenley story. Uh-huh. I have a shirt that's like a Dave Fenley shirt that I found at Goodwill, and it's got like his face on it. Yeah, it's got his face on it, and it's like his whatever, like that bash that he does in Texas, the Memorial Day bash or something when he goes home to Texas. And that's like, we go to a lot of festivals with Rage Rowdy and help MC him and do all this stuff. But when we're at these festivals, my day one festival shirt, every festival I go to is my Dave Fenley shirt.
That's awesome.
I always rock Dave Fenley, man. That dude, we're Dave Fenley super fans at Rage Rowdy.
Hell yeah.
We fucking love him. Dude, nobody can sing like Dave Fenley.
He's one of my favorite like people that I've ever met here. I've only hung out with him one time, and it was when we wrote a song. And I kid you not, I was like, hey, I think this chord progression is pretty cool. And I played it for him, and he's like, play that again. And then so I did it, and he just spit out this beautiful melody, and we ended up writing the whole song off that melody that he just did a one take on. And I'm like, what is this? Like, this guy's not real.
Yeah, he's
like,
just big jolly dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah. But.
Yeah, if you're in the room of Russell and Dave, those are some good rooms be getting in, bud.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Sir. So what do you like doing when you're not doing music?
I've been picking up golf lately.
Okay.
And I've been trying to get out and golf a ton.
A little tougher this time of year with the cold.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We tried golf, and we were just out in Texas, for Thanksgiving. And it's nowhere near as cold as it is out here, but I mean, it's still pretty cold, and it was not good. I didn't play well at all. I was like, couldn't even move my
There's
body,
a lot of courses out here though. And there's a lot of like courses that are very fucking affordable.
Yeah.
Like you can get on and play 18 with a cart for like $30.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. I like during this summer when my buddies didn't have anything, we would just go out and just play a quick 9 or 18 awesome. And have a good time. Yeah. It's definitely been fun. I mean, I just picked it up 7 months ago, I think. Something like that is when I really started getting into it. So I'm not great, but I'm like, I'm sitting around like a 16, 17 handicap. Maybe
that's
18,
good.
So.
That's good. If you're already keeping track of that stuff, that's great. Sir.
I try to get better.
That's good, man. Yeah. I got to take you to Pebble Brook. It's this golf course. It's just an adventure because it's like in the mountains, like north of town. Uh-huh. And there's nobody ever there. The court, sometimes there's more sand on the green than in the sand trap, but it's like, there's like 5 minutes in between each hole when you're on the golf cart. Like you go through like tunnels.
Are you
and
serious?
Like, oh dude, you're like hitting off cliffs and shit, bro. It's wild. I go there with my buddy, Ike, who does all of our photo and video stuff with Raised Rowdy, and it's always a trip. So we'll hit the links in the spring when it warms up a little bit for sure, dude. We'll absolutely do that. That'd be a ball. So golf. And then what else?
I mean, most of the time, I'm like, when I have some free time on my hands, I just like to sit by myself and write music, or I'll hang out with some buddies or hang out with my family, work out, hang out with my dogs. I got 3 dogs, so I love to.
What kind of dogs you got?
I got 2 Goldens and then a Dachshund Minpin mix.
Wow.
Yes.
That seems like an interesting dog. What's the Dachshund's name?
Her name's Daisy. Okay. And so I can't really call her a true Dachshund Minpin mix because we don't really know what she is. Okay. My sister got her for like, I think it was like $15 from like a crack house.
So LA. You just acquired. So that dog's gone from out there. That dog's lived some life.
Yeah, she has. And yeah, she's a sweetheart. She's a loudmouth, but she's sweet.
Okay, the little ones usually are.
Oh, yeah. And
the Goldens just kind of chill.
Yeah, they're so chill. I mean, one of them's still a puppy, so she's still got that puppy energy. Nice. She'll like jump on you if you walk in the door and stuff. But I mean, for the most part, she's a sweetie. And then we got one boy dog. His name's Nash, actually. So
he's very fitting.
Yeah, very fitting. So he's the most loving dog I've ever had. So
that's awesome, man. That's awesome, buddy. Well, Devils and Angels, man. So excited for you that this project's out. Sure. And that it's all going, and that like sky's the limit, man. I can't wait to like check in and see where you're at like a year from now. Yes, you know, like it's wild, buddy. And congrats on just everything, dog. And appreciate I'm excited it. For tomorrow night. We got Kelby Ray joining you too, man.
Hell yeah.
How have you gotten to know how is that relationship with him and everything?
Yeah, so
sounds like he's excited, bro.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's gonna be a good time. I mean, we kind of just through Joe is how we know one another. So
yeah.
I mean, we've never rehearsed the song that we're doing. He's hopping on and playing my song Bulletproof.
Hell yeah.
Which is what I'm closing out the set with tomorrow. So he's going to hop on. We've never rehearsed it with him, but I mean, he's just going to come up with us and do his thing. So
hell yeah. That'll be sick, man. Yeah. He's a legend. Cadillac 3.
Oh
like,
yeah.
It'll be sick, man. And we're super stoked to have the full band thing tomorrow to be helping out with the release week and all of that, man. And
yeah, thank y'all so much.
Dude, absolutely, man. And we're happy to have you as one of the youngest members of our Raised Rowdy family, man.
Yes,
we love having you. And if you're free next week, we're doing our Christmas party.
Oh, hell yeah.
Monday night at the Rusty Nail. It's karaoke.
Oh, I love the Rusty Nail. I've been there. That's with the beach volleyball courts.
Oh, dude,
back, right?
Yeah. It's a degenerate little spot where beers are like $3 and we do karaoke and we're dressing our... Last year, Nikki T dressed up as Santa. This year, we're doing our sound guy, Teddy, who you'll see tomorrow at Duck Blind. We're dressing him up as Santa this year.
Hell
and it's
yeah.
just... It's a fun like way to close out the year, and we like doing it over there because it's... Not like we're not super like fancy people, you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The Nail is like a come one, come all,
yes,
like
sir.
Hang out. So yeah, feel free to come, bring whoever.
It'll be
a blast.
Might see me there.
Oh dude, we would love to have you there. Sure. But Timmy, my man, congrats on everything. Sure. And where can people go to find you if they're not following you already?
If you're not following me already, it's at Timmy McKeever Music on all platforms. So go check me out and give me a follow.
Hell yeah. Well, Timmy, thank you for joining us. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. When you turn 21, we'll throw you we'll get it on camera so it's official. When you turn 21, we will throw you, for the record, that can was not opened.
Yep.
It is there for product placement purely. It is closed. We're not doing anything wrong.
We're not drinking.
But when you turn 21, if you want, we'll have you take a break from playing arenas and amphitheaters like you will be in 2 years when you are 21, and we'll throw you a 21st birthday party.
Sounds
Raised
good.
Rowdy Timmy
Hell
birthday
yeah.
party with Surfside if they're
with
still
Surfside.
With Surfside who we love very much. Vodka lemonade, vodka iced tea. Go check them out wherever you get your booze, and be sure to check out our boy Timmy McKeever, Devils and Angels. It is out now. Y'all be sure to go enjoy this record. We love it here at Raised Rowdy, and you guys will too. And give Timmy a follow if you're not following him already. So. for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my man Timmy, I'm Matt Barilla. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.